Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning, everyone. Now, I have to say, since we started the show, Sophie White has been my connection to the world of true crime, but we are giving her a new assignment now. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories. So, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, terrorists hijacked passenger planes and carried out suicide attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon in Virginia, and Washington, D.C., almost 3,000 people lost their lives. We all remember where we were when we saw the news breaking. It was just horrific. And the attacks were so shocking that people looked for answers in some very, very weird places. And Sophie is here to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning. I was thinking, I used to be Murder Girl. And I'm quite happy, you know, to shake that. Mildly negative nickname. And you could
name.
Now call me, right? We're going to talk a lot about conspiracies, I think, over the next few months. And you could call me.
Yeah.
Conspiracy Colleen. It's alliteration.
Okay.
Jen, don't argue with alliteration.
No, you've given yourself that name now. Conspiracy Colleen. I didn't think.
Anawa Erfad.
Okay, let's do it.
Where were you, so? Where were you when this happened?
I was in Bristol working in a sales company and I had a terror of a boss and I saw the World Trade Center fall to the ground and was really concerned about my sister who used to work in the trade center.
No way.
But she wasn't at that time working in the trade center. But you know, you're concerned for everybody in New York in the vicinity. You're like, oh my God, what is going on?
Mm.
And my boss was like, don't, it'll be fine. You can't make that call right now because you have to go out and do more sales for the biz.
Oh, well, you got to get those KPIs up, you know.
Got to get those sales in.
Wow.
Got to get those sales in. But it was just, we were all in a state of shock.
Totally.
Nobody knew what was going on. It was a crazy time. It was like, it wasn't even like something from a movie. It was something like we'd never seen before. It was crazy.
Yeah,
Where were you?
I was in school. I was in maybe fifth year, I think. And I remember actually that I was out in, I'd gone to the loo in the middle of a class, like obviously it was the first period or something, or maybe second or, anyway, I'd gone out and I met this guy, another student, and he was like, did you hear the World Trade Center just got hit? And I didn't even know what the World Trade Center was. I was so ignorant. But I was the person who walked back to our classroom, opened the door and said to everyone in the room, the World Trade Center's just been attacked. And then, I don't know, you know, somebody magicked up the TV.
Mm.
And then that was the rest of school for that day.
They rolled it in.
Yeah, on the old trolley.
Yeah.
Old times.
But there was all sorts of theories as to what who might have done it. But
absolutely.
When did they really start to go off the rails, these theories?
Well, you see, I would say that it was probably from Dot, because I think that, you know, after like the 90s in America, there was a lot of domestic terrorism, like Timothy McVeigh. And there was a lot of, you know, pushback from certain kind of, I suppose, what would have been considered fringe communities against kind of the American government. Like we had like, you know, tragedies at Waco and Ruby Ridge where civilians were killed and, you know, by armed government forces and things. And all of that was fostering a lot of, you know, I suppose people were disenfranchised. And so I would say conspiracies probably started the day of. Because also that is, like you said, people are trying to find sense in something that is senseless.
Yeah.
And so I think the first kind of real kind of landmark moment, though, in the kind of conspiracy community of 9/11 came with this film called Loose Change that appeared in May of 2003, so just under 2 years after the attacks. And I suppose it's now acknowledged to be the first thing that ever went viral on the internet. And it was made by a 20-year-old called Dylan Avery, who the story is that he was a kind of doing research for a fictional screenplay about the 9/11 attacks being an inside job. And when he was researching his screenplay, he decided that he was finding enough evidence to support the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. And so he started working on this film. It's, you know, a couple of hours long. He made it free on the internet.
Avery admitted himself there was inaccuracies in this. Was this a later on? Was this after it became really popular?
Well, you see, it became really popular, so much so that he's actually done about 6 different edits of it, including the third edition, which is called Loose Change Final Cut. But then there was like about 3 final cuts after that. But yeah, like he's come out and said, we don't ever in the film come out and say that everything we say is 100%. We know there are errors in the documentary and we've actually left them in there so that people discredit us and do the research for themselves. So very trolly, I would say, that kind of behaviour is. But it, you know, it did its job. It went everywhere, this film, Loose Change. Like, we literally had David Lynch, literally creator of Twin Peaks, talk about Loose Change during an interview for Dutch TV. You know, I saw a clip of him saying that it the film does make you look at things in a different light. And that when the interviewer said, you know, did he think that it was convincing about the fact that the American government orchestrated the attacks? David Lynch said, it's too big for people to think about. It got everywhere. And it's very interesting that it was a kind of a document that a lot of people latched onto.
Yeah.
And it was in the wake of the attacks where there was no answers forthcoming.
Yeah.
And then eventually, yes, the 9/11 Commission was published and it was like over 400 pages long. There was nearly 2,000 footnotes detailing all the ways that the American government had kind of failed at every single level to anticipate the attacks, right? Mm-hmm. But it was still quite an unsatisfactory answer to a tragedy that had completely ruined lives across America and had also completely like demolished the kind of American landscape. And people still felt really unsatisfied. Nobody lost their jobs over 9/11. People weren't really held to account. And like, I mean, it was because they had failed to anticipate anything of that magnitude. That's the big quote from the 9/11 Commission, is that what had happened was like a failure at many levels, but mainly a failure of imagination.
Okay.
People just couldn't conceive of something so big. So anyway, there was, right, a big draw for tourists after a few years after the attacks. Ground Zero became a place that people, it was a pilgrimage, you know, people came to see and pay their respects. And then it also became a kind of mecca for conspiracy theorists.
How so?
Who would come and congregate and be among all the tourists.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And literally kind of proselytize about their beliefs and, you know, about how 9/11 was an inside job. And what happened was, this is quite an interesting man called Mark Roberts, right, who was working as a New York City tour guide before the attacks. And he used to do it on rollerblades. I don't know if anyone remembers, that was a big thing in like the 1990s, 2000s, rollerblading tour guides. You had to be pretty good on the blades.
Yeah.
And anyway, after the attacks, he began to bring people on tours of Ground Zero. And this now, Ground Zero, like, the absolute scale of it, it was a 16-acre hole that had been left by the buildings collapsing. So that's the equivalent of 12 football fields. And he was confronting, Mark Roberts started to see all these conspiracy theorists and started to confront them directly. And it became this kind of battleground. He had seen Loose Change and he thought it was just one of the most irresponsible pieces of filmmaking he'd ever seen. Even though it was put together by a 20-year-old, he wasn't willing to say it's just a 20-year-old. And he used to go down to Ground Zero every day carrying a big folder of all his actual facts that obviously refute the claims in Loose Change and refute the claims of many other conspiracy theories. And he used to wear a little name badge that said, sensible person. And he'd go up to the lads who were screaming and shouting about, like, you know, Building 7 was a hoax and all this kind of stuff. And he would say, you know, have you investigated the claims you're making? And he'd really put it to them. And like, I saw footage of him confronting one guy and the guy is like, do I know every single fact? No, I'm not a wizard. And Mark says, neither am I. I just read the report, you know?
Okay, so like he's taken his life into his own hands. I mean, that's a pretty dangerous game he's playing there by doing that. He obviously has, he's very passionate about this.
Yeah.
And has done his research. So there's a lot of theories. And we're talking about Loose Change. But what is the most bonkers one out of the lot? Because there was a few, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the most bonkers one for me is the hologram planes.
Oh, okay.
So the thing with Loose Change is Loose Change never claimed that planes hadn't flown into the buildings. He just believed that the damage, like the collapses, had been engineered. He believed that the plane flying into the Pentagon was actually an explosion. He believed other things like that, but he did believe that the planes had flown into the towers as witnessed by so many people. Whereas the fake plane people believed that what we all saw were holograms.
Okay.
So that's some, I don't know, like obviously we've seen holograms can do a lot. ABBA is on tour mm-hmm. with holograms.
Mm-hmm. Great show,
Kanye apparently. Brought yeah. Robert Kardashian back from the dead with a hologram, a most moving hologram. I don't know if you remember that tribute.
Mm-hmm. It was.
But I don't know if I'm on board with the planes. That's the kind of one of the craziest ones that I think. Obviously there's other, like there's a lot of recorded audio of the people who were on the planes calling their loved ones. And there is a whole swathe of people who believe those calls were faked using like high-tech audio tech, voice-morphing technology. And I mean, to believe that you wouldn't know your loved one and to believe that they could... I mean, it's too vast to even get into how...
so upsetting and infuriating yeah. for victims' families to witness this. I mean, are there people still going on about it or has it finally kind of run out of steam as a theory now? I mean, we're talking 20 years later.
I think in many ways, I'd say people only feel that evidence is gathering about those kind of... incidents, because like obviously we keep seeing the really like toxic effect of this type of thinking, like literally right up into like the very fact of Trump getting elected and, you know, Pizzagate, you know, QAnon. I mean, it's literally getting bigger and bigger with passing years, not dissipating. And then it's interesting because then there's like led to a lot of infighting within conspiracy communities. So at some point, like Dylan Avery started being targeted by other conspiracy theories. So he's the maker of Loose Change. And they started to be like, well, you're a fool for thinking there were planes. They were holograms, and started calling him a plane hugger because he did believe the planes were involved. Then the anti-Semites became annoyed that the Jews weren't being blamed enough and started calling Dylan Avery a Zionist misinformation disseminator. So there is layers upon layers upon layers. I'll finish on, do you remember this one? In the wake of the attacks, an email circulated claiming that Wingdings had predicted 9/11. Only some people will remember what Wingdings
is. I don't remember that.
The Wingdings came on Microsoft Windows on your computer. It was like a font that instead of letters was just symbols.
Okay.
Do you remember this at all?
No, yeah,
I don't remember.
It's ringing a bell.
If you're in like, you know, Microsoft Word and you went to the fonts, you could drop down the menu, find Wingdings, and all the letters corresponded to symbols. And basically, it's... it was claimed that if you entered Q33NY into Wingdings, and Q33NY was supposedly the flight number of the first plane to hit the Twin Towers. So if you entered that into Wingdings, it would bring up the symbols of a plane and then two sheets of paper that looked quite like skyscrapers, then a skull and crossbones. Then this is where I really lose you. Star of David.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And I remember in school, at the school computer, like everyone was like, oh my God, did you see this?
God, it is so bonkers.
It's bonkers,
and
yeah.
it's really interesting.
But it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. Yeah. It is so, so dangerous. And we're going to talk more about it because we're just kicking off. Sophie White, conspiracy, Colleen, murder girl, whatever you want to be called, you're amazing. Thank you so much for telling me about conspiracy theories that came out of 9/11. Come back to me soon with another one because they're going to come thick and fast, I presume. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.